Do it.
Good afternoon. I'm here today with Tyler Carlson, the co-founder of ReSquared. Good afternoon, Tyler. How are you doing today?
What's up, Mark? I am beautiful. I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I see you got a Yankees cap there.
It's a long story, but my wife was a nanny with one of the executives with the team, and I'm from Tampa, so anybody that's been in Tampa knows that the Yankees do their spring training here, and so was lucky enough to actually get engaged in Yankee Stadium. So I'm a Yankee fan, but besides that, all Tampa all day.
Way to go. And they have some pretty good other sports teams there, I heard, but we won't do that now.
Champa Bay. We'll leave it at Champa, that.
That's the first time I heard that. That's good. I like that. So to start with, what you just tell us about your history and you know what you've done in the past?
Yeah, so quick 30,000 foot on me. So I was born and raised here in Tampa. I've always done entrepreneurial things. Used to have a camp that I ran with all my buddies' friends or my little brother's friends, moving services, lawn services, used to spray paint curbs with address numbers to charge people $50 a pop. Really great hustle. You know, if you got a summer gig you need, pretty easy to just spray paint some numbers on a curb. And so in college, I thought I was going to be an orthodontist. I got braces and I was like, man, the guy literally put the mirror in your mouth and was like, give me 10 grand or whatever, you know? So I studied pre-med. Started selling study guides for my classes, ended up joining a website that we sold study guides through. The original founder and myself sold that business my last semester of college. So I dropped out of college. Parents weren't too happy about it at the time, but I think they've gotten over it now. And I joined a company called Site Zeus that helped restaurant and particularly retailers and restaurants predict sales and real estate. And so I spent the last 5.5 years selling into brands like Subway and Burger King and Jimmy John's and Bojangles and folks like that. And one of my data partners at the time, Spatial.ai, Griffin, one of the founders there, he reached out to me last year about a company he started, and that was ReSquared. And so I've officially been on as a co-founder of ReSquared since January and really excited to be strapped into the rocket ship taking off here.
Cool. So you talked about ReSquared. So why don't you tell us what ReSquared does? Who's your typical client? What you do for them? All those things.
So what ReSquared does is we help landlords and landlord brokers. So anybody that owns the dirt or represents the owners of the dirt, fill their spaces with small businesses. So the way that's done today is you'll drive down the road and you'll see a for lease sign, right? But what are the chances that the prospect that's perfect for your property happens to drive by and happens to call that number, right? And so what they would do today is they would physically canvas. They would knock on doors and say, hey, are you interested in relocating or expanding to, you know, Mark's coffee shop or whatever, or, you know, chiropractor or whatnot. And so what we do is we take all of those target prospects and we give you all the contact information to all the local and regional businesses. And then we make it easy to reach out to them and track your work. So instead of being able to hit up maybe 100 businesses in a month or two, you could hit up 100 businesses in 30 minutes. And so we save time and make it more effective in prospecting. So that's what ReSquared does. And our target customer are landlords and landlord brokers. And we also focus mostly in retail, but we do some office as well.
Very interesting. And I know your website has AI.ai on it. So I assume you use some artificial intelligence to do this.
Yeah. So we, you know, really what the name of the game is, you know, we have a ton of proprietary stuff around how many locations do these mom and pops have. You know, if you have 4 locations, their likelihood of getting to 5 is infinitely higher than 1 to 2, right? Or 0 to 1. We also look at, we build an algorithm that ranks how good their reviews are. So you know who to reach out to. And we're just getting started with the way we're able to kind of really hone in the data to make our customers more effective with prospecting.
Interesting. And you said you started in January, which is basically 6 months ago. So do you actually have an MVP now, or is it still in the works?
Absolutely. No, we're live and crushing. So Griffin started the product a week before COVID hit. So I'm sure we'll touch on that here in a little bit. So he started it right before COVID. At first he was scared, but arguably couldn't have been better timing. He reached out to me in like July of last year. And I used the second end of last year to just do due diligence. I just became a dad 4 months ago. But so before I took the leap of faith, I wanted to make sure I was setting my family up for success. And most importantly, taking care of my last company, which I had all the love and respect for, and still do. And so, yeah, we're working with the last time I checked, about 300 something million square feet of property. So all of, I think like 10 out of the top 15 landlords in the country are customers already. Don't quote me on that number, something around that. So companies like Kimco, Weingarten, Regency, Brixmore. We have Collier's offices, Cushman and Wakefield offices. Atlantic Retail is working with us, just to name a few. And for one example, Brookfield signed up with us and signed one lease within 30 days of signing up with the product, which is worth a pretty penny if you know anything about those long-term leases.
Wow, that's impressive for a company. You know, you haven't been in business for 2 years and you're making major inroads into an industry. That's very impressive.
Thank you. Yeah, but we have a lot of credit to give to Y Combinator. We're proud to be a part of the Y Combinator ecosystem. And a lot of our investors are in your neck of the woods up in San Francisco. So we got the tech backing to help us be successful here.
Well, and did you do Y Combinator? Or did you do one of the last ones in person, or was it one of the remote ones?
Unfortunately, it was remote. It was this calendar year from January to April. We averaged about 12%, 10 to 11% actually, week over week growth goals, which we were really proud of. So every week we were growing 10 to 12%. And it was all remote, but we did make the most of it and able to connect with more people than we probably would have been able to physically. But looking forward to being out in California here soon and seeing our people out there.
Cool. And if you're saying 10 to 12% growth weekly, I mean, how do you manage that? I mean, especially since you are a remote company, I'm assuming, right?
We are. We're fully remote. Myself and a few others on the team, including my co-founder, Griffin, who, again, was the original idea man of ReSquared, have offices. But the way we managed it is, I think one thing that Y Combinator teaches you is week over week growth goals, and it helps you be very focused. If you get too pie in the sky, right, about what you're going to do in 10 years, you know, you end up kind of not really making true progress. You know, you got to have a North Star, but you got to act. And I think we really doubled down. One thing we learned was we kind of thought that customers, we just give them a kind of a quick intro and then they'd be off and running. We realized like we really got to double down and onboard them. So I personally onboarded every customer from like January to probably May as we grew our team. And so that helped me learn a lot on why are people buying? What is the pain we're solving? And so we were able to take those learnings and replicate them. Also, our product is just straightforward, right? It's not super complicated. It's, look, you want to get in touch with small businesses, we can help you do it faster, quicker, and more effective. So that's a huge benefit, is that the way the product was developed, it was simple and a clear value prop where you don't have to know how to, you know, reinvent the wheel or the circumference of whatever. You know, you can just log in and get immediate value. So it was a combination of short-term focus and really doing the things that don't scale, you know, giving the customers our cell phone numbers and really serving, which led to more customers.
And I mean, you're based in Florida, and I assume your team is dispersed. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah. So we're up to, as of, I think this morning, we just had another offer accepted on Friday. I think we're at 18 employees. We were founder led sales only up until about 2 months ago. And our first sales hire, Victoria, shout out to Victoria out of Austin, Texas. She's been crushing it. And then we have three new sales hires that have started last week, this week, and next week. And cool part about that is, three of the four sales folks were past customers of ours. So they believed in what we were doing so much that they left their publicly traded REITs to join, you know, our rapidly growing team. So yeah, we're all over the place. We have people in your neck of the woods in California, LA, Seattle, Portland, Chicago, Austin, Texas, DC, New York, Tampa, Orlando, South Florida. And then we have some folks overseas as well.
Wow. So how do you manage that from, you know, all this growth from Florida? That's got to be tough.
Yeah, it is difficult. I think what's great about it is that we're big fans of Slack. I love Slack. You know, one thing that's really important to me as I focus, you know, on this pretty regularly is we know that ReSquared is just a stepping stone for our team, right? We're honest with ourselves where they're not going to be doing ReSquared 100 years from now, 50 years from now, maybe not even 20 years from now, who knows, right? So what we figured out is, where does this individual want to be in life? Where do they want to be 5 years from now? Where do they want to be 7 years from now? And how can we set up the experience for them to be successful in that way, right? And when you have people that are genuine with what they want out of life, what drives them, it's a lot easier to manage them. If you're trying to work just based off assumptions, it ain't going to work very well. And so by having people that were intrinsically motivated, it really cut out the fat, right? If you joined the team and you weren't really willing to figure it out and get your hands dirty, it was exposed pretty quickly. So I think some of the ways that we were able to do that was getting to know our team members as people and not just as a number, right? We have this thing called a favorites quiz where I learned my wife's a teacher and they do this at her school where they fill out a card at the beginning of the year of what's your favorite drink and what's your Starbucks order and all that. And we try to send each other gifts, have happy hours, you know, play games, stuff like that, which we can dive more into. But I think it's, and one line, it's treating people like people and not, you know, treating them like robots.
Interesting, because one of the most common things I hear from executives is, especially with everything being remote, is the culture.
Yep.
And it sounds like that's how you're addressing it, correct? Is you're individualizing it, you're not generalizing it.
Yeah, I think culture is just like, it's kind of like we talked about earlier with AI. I think it's just a buzzword where people use it because they think it's like cool to talk about it. But I think if you have to talk about your culture, you're not acting, you're not walking the walk, right? I think, you know, we have different concepts that we preach, like action oriented, right? Or, you know, we're a sports team, we're not a family, right? You can't fire your uncle, right? Some of us wish you could probably, right? But you can't, right? But at the end of the day, you know, I think that's a better metaphor. But I think culture is more of the actions, you know, and not the words. And I think that's a big mistake, is people want to get in a room and lay out this giant mission statement and throw around butterflies and rainbows. But if you don't care about them individually, and what's making them tick, then you're going to have a whole bunch of jargon, but not a lot of actual productivity.
Yeah, no, I would agree. Wow. That's actually quite insightful. I think a lot of companies could learn from that, because I've worked for some very big companies where what their culture is, it's some banner they put up on the wall, you know, and it's something really pretty generic. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Respect and, you know, humble and blah, blah, blah. But what does it really mean? I listened to a podcast interview with the founder of Lululemon, and he talked about what he did was he took five books and came up with 30 terms out of those books that were defined through the books. And that was like the culture that he created at Lululemon. So everybody was required to read those books when they joined and understand those terms. He had them posted in the restrooms, at his house, in his restroom. So I think there are ways where you can, you know, take different words and things that create your culture, but if you don't put any action behind it, you know, you can have all the banners you want, but it doesn't matter.
Yes, true. So to finish up, we'll talk about the future. So what do you think? You know, it's interesting because you're a remote company, but one of the highest destinations for people moving right now is Florida. So you have a lot of people moving to Florida.
Yeah, you're right.
So do you think that you'll still be a remote company, even though there's probably going to be a lot of talent in the Florida area?
That's a good question. I think we'll always have a hybrid element for sure. I think, you know, like even take my dad, who's a lawyer, right? And he got to experience the work from home. He's like, what am I doing paying, you know, 25 grand a month or whatever in rent, you know? So in my humble opinion, I think that that it will always have a hybrid, right? Where there'll always be the remote option. And, you know, even before the pandemic at my last company, we had that same setup. And in my opinion, I think the future is kind of offices are more treated like a convention center / like meeting room of a hotel, and less about like a day-to-day water cooler, right? Where I think that it's like, hey, every other week, these micro teams will meet in person. On a monthly basis, the medium teams will meet in person. And on a quarterly basis, the whole company will spend retreat time, because, you know, speaking from the sales side of things, right? Relationships is what moves the world forward, right? And the way you build relationships, you get to know people. And the best way to do that is in person. And so I think that's where the in-person is going to be, is more of the relationships between the employees and less about like the tactical execution, which is going to come back to the point of, you know, where do they want to be in the future? So I think we'll absolutely have a hybrid element of it. Now, frankly, I miss, you know, the, hey, you guys want to go grab some, you know, beers tonight, or, you know, let's get on a whiteboard right now, or blah, blah, blah. Like, I do miss that. So I think we'll have a hub over the next 24 months where, you know, a significant portion of our team will be, but I don't think I'm ever going to force somebody to move to be a part of our team.
Yeah. And one final question, because it just kind of hit me, is if you think about it, once you decide to have a hub, your software could help someone find you. Is that
that's deep there, Mark. That's deep. You're not too far off. I mean, I think, you know, we're we're excited to see the different applications of our product outside of just the normal day-to-day leasing and real estate stuff. You know, we're experimenting with other verticals and things like that, insurance and banking and, you know, PEO and things like that. So you never know. But at the end of the day, you know, I think what you guys are doing is really cool by giving the forum to have this conversation. I think, you know, frankly, there's been a lot of inefficiencies in our business world. And I think this pandemic has exposed that. And obviously, you know, people losing their jobs is nothing that is ever, you know, anybody wants to happen. But I think we've all learned on how we can be more productive and more efficient in the moving landscape. And, you know, times are changing more so every day than the day before. So I think we've got plenty more change to come.
I would agree with you on that. On that note, I want to thank you for your time today, Tyler. It sounds like you guys have a cat by the tail, and you're going to have gray hair like me pretty soon.
Well, my honor to talk to you, Mark, and I look forward to catching a hockey game or hitting the links with you one of these days, man. So thank you for the time, and really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Thank you.